Hi, this is Scott Callon. Thank you, everybody, very much for joining. We really appreciate your time. I'm joined today by Ted Fujita, who is our lead independent director, and Dan Morisaku from our finance department. I'm working off of materials that we have on our website called FY19-2, fiscal year February 2019, full year corporate presentation. So let's go at it. A lot of content today, so I'm gonna go fast and choose some spots. So during the Q&A, please feel free to pick up any areas that you want to focus on. So let's begin. Page 7 shows the FY19-2 summary. We continue to have stock earnings that are over 2x our fixed expenses. It gives us an ongoing structural profitability that's really important. You can see on the right side of the page, we've been growing stock earnings across all segments, in particular a very big move in clean energy in the last year. Bottom left points to the Power Up 2019 midterm plan, MTP achievement. We beat all KPI targets. Over a three-year period, we raised OP, operating profit, by 60%, so that's 19% per annum. Net income only grew 19% because we normalized taxes during the period, but the right way to look at us, meaning we had something like a 6-7% tax rate at the beginning of the period, and we normalized to normal kind of Japanese 30% corporate tax during the period. So that's why LP grew so much more. We did a share buyback for a second year in a row. We raised our dividend. And in January, we became a top partner of the J-League, which is Japan's professional soccer league. Football league, see in the home country. We think this is a really interesting opportunity, and I'll speak to it a little bit later. This of course, is a very big branding opportunity for us, but we think it's actually a very interesting business opportunity with a lot of synergies there. Turning to page 8 shows the outcome for the year that just ended. So fiscal 19 is what we're talking about today. OP is up 20%, net income is up 10, EPS is up 11. OP grew more than income because we had some extraordinary profits in the previous year. EPS up a little bit more than net income based on our buyback. The results in record operating profit, recurring profit, and net income for the firm in fiscal year 19-2. Turning to the segment earnings details, again, good growth and stock earnings across the board. You'll see on the forecast, we came in fairly substantially above in asset management, right where we expected to on value add. Clean energy is the one segment of the three that came in below forecast. To be clear, that was fine. we effectively had it come in below forecast, which is to say it's stock earnings, meaning it's solar power generation revenues were up more than we had forecast. We had put into the plan that we were going to sell an asset, sell one, a solar power plant during the year. We decided not to. It was as simple as that. we have a strong ongoing focus on stock earnings. The real estate market has gotten some wobbliness in it, which in certain ways is a wind at our backs, and I'll talk about that later. But it was like, yeah, actually, we don't want to sell any solar power plants. We'll just keep them. So that's the reason why it came in under. It came in on the flow side. It came in over on the stock side. Total result is we at the bottom of the page, we came in 5% above our full-year forecast. Turning to the 2022, so the February 2020 full-year forecast on page 11, we're forecasting flat to this past year, which is a record for us. We are putting, and we announced today, a long-term vision called Ichigo 2030, which I'll be discussing later. We are putting spend into IT and personnel that will dampen current year earnings. My result is we come in a tiny bit below last year. In terms of the forecast on RP recurring profit and income EPS, we come in a little bit of OP. It's our goal always to beat our forecast, so I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the year we end up with record earnings across the board again, but let's see what we can do. Page 12 shows the segment level forecast details. Value add, again, we're looking kind of something pretty equivalent to this last year. Asset management looks like we're very cautious for the year, and it's got a down 70% year on year. I mean, the issue with asset management is it's hard to forecast flow earnings, which is to say the great thing about the value-add business is if you want to sell 20 assets, you go to market with 50 of them. And if some, you know, if you want to sell asset A instead, you had a better price on B, like, oh, we don't want to sell asset A, we want to sell B instead. But you have a lot of flexibility on generating your flow. So there's more kind of certainty saying this is what we think a flow earning is going to be in the value-add business. And that's just not true with asset management. You kind of need to close the year to figure out how you did. So we forecast conservatively on that with flow earnings down on asset management. Clean energy is forecast a little bit conservative relative to past power production. I mean, that's fine. We tend to be conservative with the numbers, and we expect to beat them. So that's what the breakdown looks like. I'm going to turn to the kind of the disclosure that we give on a regular basis, and so I'll go quickly through it because, again, there's a lot to cover today. Page 14 shows, beginning with page 14, we've got four elements of our business model, one of them which is new today that we'll be introducing, but some, you know, key elements that we think is important to understand as a management team about who we are and to communicate that to our investors and shareholders. So 14 shows that we're a hybrid business model. We have stock earnings, which are fabulous, meaning they're congressionally guaranteed. You know, at the very beginning of the year, you're going to make at least this amount of money, which is nice. And on top of that, we embed flow earnings are generally about 50-50. Page 15 shows an element of the business model, which is we add value to assets, and we only record that value when you do an asset sale under accounting rules. So what it means is that our accounting profits underestimate our full economic earnings, and we effectively create an earnings bank for future periods. In the last year, third-party appraisers are putting our current earnings bank or embedded forward earnings, in other words, unrealized gains in the portfolio at about 50 billion yen. If you turn to page 16, the third element of the model is that, you know, we have external appraisers. They come in to tell you what the asset's worth, and we systematically come in way over those numbers. You can see over the last number of years, we've come in at 2.2x, 1.6x, 4.4x, and 2.5x in the last year. What the appraisers would tell us are the unrealized gains. So if you go back to the previous page, 15 again, you know, so 16 says, hey, 2x of what the appraisers say are your unrealized gains. It looks to be a reasonable estimate. And so it's not that we have on a 200 billion yen market cap, 50 billion yen of unrealized gains. It's arguably the case that we have about 100 billion or more, and that would be consistent with what we as a management team think current valuation is. It's above and possibly well above 100 billion yen of unrealized gains in the balance sheet. Page 4 is something we're introducing from today because we actually put this as an element in a KPI in our vision to 2030. We think it's really important. This is not particularly unusual for a real estate firm, but it is a real strength of ours as a real estate firm, and it's worth making sure as we grow our business and grow into non-real estate business in the infrastructure space that we keep this incredibly powerful element, which is to say, our net income is real. It is a company with cash. We don't have this problem. You know, we aren't a company with receivables, with credit risk. You know, when we book profits, the cash hits the bank account. And what that means is what we call economic operating cash flow, which is our operating cash flow taking out the effect of us buying or selling in the real estate for sale or power plants for sale category, so kind of the ongoing steady state operating cash flow of the firm is substantially bigger than income, and that's very, very powerful. It also implies, as I said earlier, that we think our economic earnings are higher than accounting earnings. This also implies the exact same thing for a completely different reason. So the firm is robustly profitable, and we want to keep it that way. Turning to page 18 shows our current financing situation. We think it's very important to have durable borrowings, and so we borrow at about 10 years, and that continues to be the case. Let me turn to some topics specific to each of the segments. Page 20 shows the three Ichigo lists, the two REITs and the list of Yieldco all in the TFC. We think they represent good value. The office is paying 4.2% yield, the hotel 4.8%, and Ichigo Green, the solar Yieldco, 5.6%. We will continue to support growth and value there. We work, as I've said before, for all shareholders. Our shareholders, of course, and all of the shareholders that we are responsible to, including the shareholders of Ichigo Office, Ichigo Hotel, and Ichigo Green. Page 21 shows the transactions we did in our main real estate value-add business. We continue to be selective on acquisitions and sales. It is a seller's market. Our gross profit margin was 26% during the year. If you go to the bottom of the page, bottom right, and then we've got a highlight on top of the table, we were net sellers during the year. We think it's continues to be a very good time to sell. We have things that we are buying, and so we're able to sell things that we think are good levels, and we do so. If you look at the breakdown, you'll see the biggest sales were in hotel and residential residences. For two very different reasons. Hotels are the most economically sensitive, so if there are reasons to believe, and we believe very strongly, don't predict, prepare, so we're not going to make a call on, you know, we think this is where Dalian is going to be, this is where the world is going to be, this is GDP is going to be, this is where monetary policy is going to be, this is where U.S. foreign policy is going to be a year from now. We don't believe we should do that. We should understand the broad range of scenarios, and the ones that we don't understand also, and be prepared to be bulletproof no matter what happens. So the issue of hotels is economically sensitive. We're shifting, we're selling a down part of the portfolio. That's been a part of the plan. We're substituting for less distinctive, meaning for more commodity sort of budget hotels, for more distinctive hotels like the not lifestyle hotel with higher competitiveness and higher forward returns. So we were sellers of hotels because they're the least defensive of the asset class that we own. We were also sellers of residences because they're the most defensive, which is to say the world has become worried, it appears, and about stability and earning stability. And so there is this extremely high bid for residences, and we decided we would hit some of those bids. The issue with residences has never been a great value-add category in Japan, which has quasi rent control, so we acquired many of these assets a number of years ago. We've kind of ridden them up, which has been nice, but we think it's time to sell. If you take a look at office, it shows us being net sellers, but if you look at mixed office retail, which is primarily office, those offset each other, so we're actually acquirers of offices during the period. So you're acquiring offices, and we're acquiring retail, both of them which in assets. So we think we can generate upside from our value-add activity. Page 22 shows another activity that we've done. This is meant to be a marker for we really do work for all of you, which is to say we think it's our job to do the best thing for our shareholders. One of those things is we think is to use the tax shield that is available through depreciation. So to be very explicit, we're moving, reclassifying assets from real estate for sale to fixed assets. The implication of that is that we get depreciation. That means that our earnings go down. Our earnings go down, our EPS goes down, so on an accounting basis it looks like we're less profitable, but in reality what it means is we're using depreciation, which is a non-cash item, to offset real cash earnings and to use that cash and that tax shield in order to invest that cash to fund growth investments. So that's something that we move towards. Historically we had a tax shield. We've come to decide that we should, as aggressively as possible, be using fixed asset depreciation characteristics, tax shield on our assets. I'm sorry, tax shield on our assets and therefore earnings. Page 23 shows you what's going on in clean energy since 3 months ago. And at a conference call then, we've added 9 solar plants to the development pipeline, which is 19 megawatts. The new plants that are coming online this year, as you can see, are fairly substantial. It shows 34% growth. And the reason why we don't have a big growth in our clean energy earnings that I showed you earlier in the segment area is because many of these are coming at towards year end. The implication is that we're relatively flat for this year and we can get significant growth next year. Page 24 touches on each of the owners under the 20 Power Up 2019. It was a new business entry. We'll be reclassifying it now that it's no longer, it's been around for 2 years, and so the next presentation that we talk about will be part of an existing business. But it was something we started. The goal was to have a business that had kind of substantial nimbleness, higher turnover. Look, ROE is margin times turnover times leverage. If you increase your turnover, you can decrease your margin and provide a better value product to your clients, be more cost competitive. As Jeff Bezos has famously said, their margin is my opportunity. We feel very strongly about that. So this is explicitly designed to be a 6 to 12 month holding period, turnover rapidly, provide good value to our clients, access a category of clients, because this is very fast value up that we normally have, so it's accretive to the business, and it's going well. So average holding period is coming in eight months, exactly as we had planned. You can see on the bottom of the page that the gross profits are growing, have grown very substantially. It's working quite well. Page 25 shows our activity in smart agriculture. We actually did an announcement. One of our activities in smart agriculture, we did an announcement on Monday this week. We're trading our ownership in a subsidiary called Tenuto for a smaller ownership in a larger smart agriculture company. We think this was good value, so we'll see what we can do for all of you with our capital gains on that. They're also going to, as we put on the bottom of the page, there are opportunities that are going to come out of that. Page 26 shows some of the activity we're doing in terms of content. I'll talk about this when I turn to our vision, but real estate is used because people want to achieve things. And so having kind of differentiation for your assets based on kind of soft services and overlays that make the assets more interesting or more valuable or more functional or things that we believe in. Ichigo, as you know, is a small start, and if it really works out, let's get big in this in terms of the approach to the business model. So there are a number of things we're doing. We're doing laundromats. We're doing self-storage. We're doing parking lots. Some of these could be breakouts. More likely, in terms of we can get really big in this, more likely the things that are additive that give us another set of tools in terms of, well, we could, you know, we've got all these assets. Hey, this would be appropriate for doing something with self-storage, et cetera, et cetera. Page 27 speaks to our partnership with the J-League that started in January. Bottom of the page is a screenshot showing Ichigo all over a stadium. So the first incredibly obvious benefit of this relationship is it's kind of explosive branding for us. We've never been all over TV. We are a sponsor not at the team level, so we're not on jerseys. That's a lot more expensive. We're a sponsor at the actual J-League level, which means that we're in every stadium the J-League is in, which I think is like 51 or 53 or something like that, all over Japan. And so we're there for people who aren't in the stadium. We're there on TV just constantly. So that's been absolutely terrific for us, and we think we'll grow significant recognition of Ichigo. The other element that is absolutely critical, it's on the page, though. We are the only real estate company, and of course now we're increasingly thinking of ourselves as an infrastructure company, but the J-League approached us. They wanted a partner with significant real estate expertise. Running a sports league with stadiums and facilities, it has a real estate element, and they needed help. So we think they're going to be business transactions that are productive and valuable. In fact, from our perspective, we don't deliver significant business above and beyond the branding benefit. We'll consider this a failure. So it's a way of saying we're very, very high conviction that it's going to work out extremely well. Page 28 shows you the buyback we did in October to December. And let me turn to, again, we've got a lot to cover, so I'm going to run forward. Let me turn to the Power Up 2019. A midterm plan. This was a three-year plan that covered the years 2017, 2018, and 2019 that this closed. We hit all our KPI targets. As I touched upon earlier, OP was up 6%, RP recurring profit of 6%, net income was up less because of the normalization of a tax rate. It's worth pointing to on the page What our ROE look like on a tax-adjusted basis in 2016, it is emphatically not the case that we become less capital efficient, we become more. So what happened was in 2016, we had a very, very low tax rate, which flattered our ROE. When you use apples-to-apples taxes, we've grown the ROE from 15.3% to 16.3% during the period, and of course, took up OP very, very substantially. Page 31 shows some details of all the things we've been doing to try to grow value for shareholders, and I'm happy to speak to any of those items. 32, another key goal for us, both from a branding perspective of you're in the highest class and tier of successful Japanese companies, and as a measure of are we actually getting the things that we need to get done, we wanted to appear in the JPX Nikkei 400. We have done that 3 years in a row. We expect to be done this year. And the other thing that we're looking towards is we'll see where we get there, that we'd be in the top 200 of the 400 in this year's August 2019 rebalance. Let me turn to the vision that we announced today. Its key tenet is that we're going to grow beyond real estate, and real estate and clean energy, which came out of our real estate business, into broad infrastructure activity. We think of infrastructure, and we're already, we consider agriculture to be an important infrastructure area. So in other words, our definition of infrastructure is things, you know, the kind of the bedrock foundational kinds of capabilities, both hardware and software, that allow individuals and corporations, societies to conduct modern lives. So as we put on the top of page 34, we're moving into a sustainable infrastructure. It's got a second message for our shareholders, which is we're going for growth. There's a version of hey, we're a real estate company, and we understand that there are all these incredibly interesting capabilities in IT that could revolutionize the way that we deliver value to our tenants and customers, but we're a real estate company, so we'll let some software company do that, and they can solve kind of clients' problems in brand new ways, and we'll just be hardware guys. That's not our vision for ourselves. We're just 200 people. We're fast. We're flexible. We do have IT capability. We all sit together. We have the ability, we think, to drive substantial growth in our business through IT. So the third element of this announcement is quite to be explicit about what perhaps implicit is. This is a major announcement about the degree of activity that we're going to turn ourselves into an IT firm. And, you know, it's possibly the case that 10 years from now we won't be a sustainable infrastructure company, we'll be a sustainable infrastructure IT company, and we will be fine with that outcome. It does allow for kind of growth, which is extraordinary, and the kinds of returns on assets, which are extraordinary for a classic real estate company, and we're going to go for that. Page 35 shows us kind of graphically, go beyond real estate to address broad needs. But the key issue is, if you confine yourself to think of yourself as a box provider, and we've got assets, and we're going to give people residences, we're going to give people offices, you're failing to understand that people have needs, and they're trying to address them. And by the way, just to go back to the software company issue, I mean, it is a case that software companies who don't understand kind of real estate, don't have the hardware, don't have the kind of the degree of interaction with customers and tenants that we do because they don't have hardware, could try to generate knowledge of those customers and solve their problems. But the reality is we are closed day in, day out working with tenants and customers, and we know their needs very, very well. So we think we have the ability to bring together hardware and software in a way that is unsurpassed. And so the key is delivering our capabilities through IT and software in a way that expresses our understanding of customer and tenant needs better than anyone else, and we fully intend to do that. Page 36 shows some KPI targets. There is a view that if you're going to put out a vision, it could just be a vision, and we could have ended at that. Perhaps unusually, we did a vision plus KPIs, which is to say we care about serving our investors and shareholders, and we think you should probably know what some of the economic impacts are, we think, of becoming a sustainable infrastructure that uses kind of merges hardware and software and has a significant IT capability. And so in the three things that we intend to continue to generate are, one, high capital efficiency. We are going to do some upfront spend that we think takes on our ROE. We're targeted this year something with a 14% handle, so we're not going to be far away from 15%. We think RE drops a little bit and then increases, and if we succeed, increases very substantially over time. We're very comfortable with the idea that we will generate an average ROE over the period of 15%. I mean, if you think about that, you do 15% growth, just leaving aside, you know, paying out 3% of dividends, but you invested all of that. That's a 4x in your earnings over that period. So this is a very ambitious statement about what we think we're capable of doing in terms of growth that we intend to execute against. We also, as part of that, continue to expect to be part of the JPX Nikkei 400, and we think that's both sustainable and is a must, and we will deliver on that. The second KPI touches on the point that I made earlier, that we have high cash flow generation. This is really powerful and needs to be preserved, so that's an explicit KPI. Year after year, we're going to have higher economic operating cash flow than our net income. And the third is high earnings stability. You know, we deliver that. The explicit KPI on the page is that we expect to grow our stock earnings, so these are the fixed contractual earnings, from 53% in fiscal year 19-2 over 60% 11 years out, so that's a long time away. This is an ambitious target. Let's be very clear about it. We expect to grow our full earnings very substantially. And also on the page, we expect to diversify our full earnings away from value-add gains on sales, which will actually give us higher earnings stability, which is a good thing. But, you know, in recognizing that we have an opportunity to grow full earnings very substantially, we think management should be very focused on growing stock at the same time. It has implications for business models. You know, if you're going to do something that's asset-light or non-asset, and it's possibly a spot model or a subscription model, spot is flow, subscription is stock. Try to understand customers' needs and see if you can get into a subscription model, et cetera. So that is an explicit target that we're going to be working against and we expect to deliver on. Page 37 shows our shareholder return policy. What's new on the page is flexible deployment of share buybacks. We grew our dividend 7 years in a row. We didn't this year. I mean, to be very explicit about that, we think the stock is very cheap. If we have marginal capital, we should be deploying it by buying in the stock. We have a capital-efficient business and a highly cash-generative business. So there hasn't been there's been no board decision. If there were one, I couldn't talk about it. We've had to make a share repurchase announcement today, but you should expect ongoing share repurchase activity from Ichigo. This is an explicit change in our shareholder return policy. We have 500 million shares outstanding, so instead of raising our dividend 1 yen, which we could have done from 7 to 8 yen, which would have been generated about 500 million yen, $5 million, in the dividend pot, we're moving it to the buyback pot. So you should expect, as I say, Ichigo may have been regarded as an ongoing, we're going to raise the dividend every year company. We're not that. We will increase our dividend over time as we kind of the growth plans that we have that we think we're going to achieve or imply because of the DOE policy that we very substantially grow our dividend. But at the moment, we're giving a clear priority to doing, if you have marginal capital for shareholder returns, to do buybacks. We think the stock is very cheap. Page 38 shows some of our initiatives. I won't go into details on them. We're going to be busy. We have a lot underway, and we continue to execute, and we expect to execute it. Page 39 gives some, starting from page 39, so on page 40, it gives some details on ESG. We have not changed our approach to ESG. We have always been an ESG company. I think we've come to understand we haven't really talked about it. So we have like this ESG indices where, you know, at the very heart of what the firm is, we wanted to break the, we think, incredibly destructive, you know, destroy and rebuild environmental model of the Japanese construction industry. At the heart of Ichigo is, the beating heart of Ichigo is ESG. So we think we ought to kind of spend some more time on it. Our sustainability policy, which has been in place for a number of years, is shown on page 40. And what we do in terms of the environment, of course, we have our solar and wind energy business, sustainable real estate on the bottom left is what I was just referring to. We care about doing the right thing for the planet, always have and always will. Page 42 shows some of our activities in the social area, and we will continue to work on this. You know, at heart, we think to be a great company and to serve kind of the social issue and ESG is not merely to do things outside of your core business that are nice and good for society, but make sure your core business itself is inherently good for society, and we're comfortable that's the case. And on governance, we were an early adopter of strong governance. We are very unusual, and that's unfortunate, and it is changing, and hopefully will change very quickly. for a Japanese company to have this kind of global best practice governance. We believe in independent directors. We believe in oversight. We believe we need to deliver that to all of you, and we will continue to do so. So those are my prepared remarks. Thank you, everybody, for your time. I would now turn to question and answer or comments or any sort of feedback. To ask a question, you press star and then one. And to cancel your question, you can press star, then two. So any questions or comments, star, and then one. Okay, we have a question from looks like CLSA.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks very much, Scott. This is Will Montgomery from CLSA. Hi. Curious, one, about the new strategy. I think it's quite interesting, intriguing. What was the feedback from your independent directors who, you know, come from non-real estate industries? What was their contribution to this policy or their concerns? If you could give some color on that, I'd be interested to hear that. That's the first question. Second question is maybe overly specific, but in regards to one of your core office holdings, I know it's the large trade PIA. You know, is that a crown jewel asset that's sort of, you know, off limits for considering to sell it? You want to, you know, leave it there for quite a bit longer to do value add, or is that is that something you might consider to exit in the current, you know, very hot Tokyo office market? Those are the two we'll start with. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Will. I'll start on the independent director feedback, and then since Ted Fujisawa is here and he's our lead independent director, he can follow. But do you want to start? You can.
Oh, you can. But I just, you know, add some comments.
Okay. So after me. Okay. So I've gotten permission from our lead independent director to talk first. So look, Will. What was interesting about this? We've talked. The board is very active. I'm going to guess we had 7 to 8 discussions on, and not short ones, on how to go forward. And one of the key choices is, what should we do another classic Japanese 3-year midterm plan? That's what people are used to here, that you give multi-year forward guidance. And, you know, there's a real advantage of that. People like it. And it's kind of like, okay, I know where Ichigo is going to be 3 years out, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with it is, and this is why we decided to go with something bigger and more aggressive, is that if you're running on a 3-year leash, it may sound long, but it's not. You know, your ability to spend in year one and year two and try to deliver growth in year three, we end up deciding it was way too constrained, and that we can grow a lot more if we go with a longer horizon. So that was a vigorous discussion at the board that we got sign off on. I mean, I think the board, to be clear, is populated primarily, including Ted, with very seasoned business executives. And so I think their contribution was very substantial. It was just, you know, very hard nose about, are you thinking about the business model? Are you thinking about risks? And are you thinking about capabilities? And do you have the capabilities? And how are you adding the capabilities? So it was, you know, speaking as, so Hatagawa, the CEO, and I, you know, were the two guys kind of interacting with the board as to how we think we should go forward. We made changes. We took input. It was valuable. And to be clear, we had broad agreement that, okay, this is a vision. We're not done. You'll be reporting into us on a regular basis on how this is progressing. So I think the governance acted in the way it should. But that's a lot to comment.
As Scott said, that, you know, the our board was, you know, very active, but and we've been involved in this, you know, Vision 2030 since last autumn. So the long discussion we've been involved, you know, from the very, very beginning. And then the 3 years plan, as you know, we have 2 3-year plan, and which Ichigo totally achieved. We are very proud of it, and based on this success, our success, you know, the track record. We think that, you know, the market will change, and we beyond the what we have done is, you know, which means, you know, grow and expand. This, you know, Ichigo's, you know, the basis of real estate business. So We're expecting beyond that, so which means maybe redefine the market, not only traditional real estate business, but beyond that, that's including the, we call it the active platform, which may to touch some real estate based on real estate, but beyond that, what is that? And that's we had a lot of discussion. Then it comes to sustainable infrastructure, the business model, and then during that, the sort of risks, maybe you mentioned that risks, we discuss is this is a new area. So what we have done, the J League, that's it's a kind of the business sort of performance or business culture is different. So how are we going to deal with them? That's, and also the real estate business. We all said it's not, it goes, we're not, we can live, we cannot live, forever in the, the good weather. Maybe, we have to prepare for the risk. I mean, the market, may go down. But in the past, 3 years, this, the 3 years plan, as you see, financially, we built the very strong the base. That's, it's totally explained. So we are well prepared for the, the real estate business sort of the slowdown. So that's based on that, how, we can build the strong position under the different, the environment. So that's sort of discussion we had. Okay?
All right. Thank you. And then we'll call on your second question. You're right, Odaiba is a crown jewel asset, but that doesn't mean it's not available for sale. I mean, look, it's generated extraordinary returns. It's been an extremely successful value add. It has ongoing value add upside that we're working on. That's why it continues to be in the portfolio. It's, as you know, centered in the Olympic venue, so there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going to happen there. Very exciting. We actually talked about Odaiba today at the board at some length on the topic of should we sell it, should we keep it, because it's going to be a huge cash generator and profit generator when we do sell it. To be Ichigo is to be constantly looking for. We look at our portfolio on a daily basis. If there's a reason for us to sell it, we'll sell it. At the moment, the view that we took today at the board is, okay, there's a bunch of value add still going on. It looks like it has continuing upside in terms of rental growth, irrespective of the value add. Okay, let's monitor it and run forward. But so I think directly to answer your question, would we be willing to sell it? Yes.
Thanks very much.
Happy to take any other questions or feedback. Star then one. Actually, I think we may have another question from CLSA. Will, is that you again?
Hi, Scott. It's me again. Since there's no other questions, I'm curious. I know you have a Japanese meeting before this English meeting.
Yeah.
And just unfortunately, I was unable to attend, and I'm curious to see or hear the feedback from the domestic investors when with regards to this vision announcement. If you could give any color there, I'd be interested to hear. Thanks.
So look, I mean, one has to be very careful. In any part of the world, that when people say nice things, you should take it with a grain of salt, especially in Japan where people are very polite. So it was interesting. As I said earlier, we decided to go ahead and do what we think is the right thing, which is drop the whole 3-year or 4-year forward guidance thing. And it's like, okay, well, our Japanese investors and the sell-side analysts may not be happy with it. We actually... We got questions during the meeting. I spoke to a number of analysts after the meeting because I was a speaker. People seemed very positive, which is interesting. I mean, we'll see when they do the reports, and we'll see whether or not positive means we're going to watch them with new interest. But I think the two specific elements of feedback just to share with you and everybody that I got were, one, we really like what you're doing to build a non-real estate cycle business. We understand, I understand your value business is a great business, but it's cyclical. If you can take the cycle out of your business, boy, would that be fantastic. And so a specific question was, your new investment, is it going into assets? No, of course it's not going to assets. Oh, good. Okay, it's going into people in IT to deliver on non-asset generated return. So that was an input I got from one sell-side peer that you would know, Will. And another sell-side peer that you would also know said, I like the ambition in terms of the earnings growth. And the second input was, I like that you're shifting towards share buybacks. I spoke to somebody on the buy side. This is really interesting. I don't know you really well. broadly the inputs, again, being careful about grains of salt, broadly the inputs were positive.
Okay, great. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I think at this point, we are truly done. So, again, thank you very much, everybody. As I said, it's an honor and a privilege to work for all of you. Have a good day.